Well, good morning, and a very happy new year to all of you. Praise God that He has brought us through another year. I don't know what this new year will bring, what trials we may face, but I am confident of this, that God will remain faithful to His people, and we can take comfort in that. Before we begin, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day that You've given us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to gather together, Lord, under the ministry of Your Word. Father, we pray. I pray now as we hear Your Word, that You would open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Father, and by the power of Your Spirit, You may apply it to our lives. And Father, we may be changed by it. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is where we'll be focusing this morning. Psalm 1, beginning from verse 1. This is what we read. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Only so far. Complete this sentence for me. I am most happy and satisfied when... What did you fill in the blank? Perhaps you thought of your career and you thought, I am most happy and satisfied when I am working. Or perhaps you thought of your family and you thought, I am most happy and satisfied when I get to spend time with my spouse or my children or my grandchildren. Perhaps you thought of a certain hobby and you thought, I am most happy and satisfied when I am busy doing what I love, painting, reading, making music, doing woodwork, playing sports, whatever it may be. Or perhaps you thought of it in future terms. I will be most happy and satisfied when all my financial troubles are over. Or I will be most happy and satisfied when I go on that vacation I've been wanting to go on. Or I will be most happy and satisfied when the lockdowns are over and I get to socialize with people again. Perhaps for the younger people here, you thought, I will be most happy and satisfied when I meet my significant other. What is it that makes you happy? What is it that makes you feel satisfied? As we head into this new year, I'm sure all of us would like to live a life of happiness and joy. Especially after these last 2 years, many of us may feel like we need a break or some burst of light in all the chaos and confusion. Many of us may have made resolutions to focus on the things that make us happy. Now, fortunately, the first Psalm of the Psalter gives us that burst of light. Within these 6 verses is a manual on how to be happy in life. Psalm 1 teaches us the purpose of the book of Psalms, and that is that the book of Psalms was given by the Holy Spirit as an instruction manual. An instruction manual to teach us how to live a holy life by meditating on God's Word and by putting God's Word into practice in our day-to-day living. It's not only an instruction manual for a holy life, but also for a happy life. That is, a life of blessedness, a life of meaning, a life of well-being in every area of our lives, and a life that is successful, with the promise of success that comes right in the middle of the psalm, whatever they do prospers. And so this morning I want to encourage us with a New Year's resolution for 2022, a guide on how to be happy in life from Psalm 1. And so in Psalm 1, we see a contrast being made between two people. It's a righteous person and a wicked person. And the righteous person lives a life of happiness and success, whereas the wicked person lives a life of misery and meaninglessness. And so the major theme of the first psalm is that in order to live a happy life, you must live like the righteous person presented in the psalm. And so this morning we're going to look at the three contrasts that are made between the righteous person and the wicked person. Firstly, in verses 1 and 2, we see a contrast of delight. Secondly, in verses 3 and 4, we see a contrast of success. And thirdly, in verses 5 and 6, we see a contrast of outcomes. So firstly, in verses 1 and 2, we see a contrast of delight. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So the first thing we need to do is define a few words. And the first word we need to define is the very first word in the psalm, blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? The Hebrew word is often translated as happy or fortunate, and it refers to how true happiness comes to those who refuse to identify with the way of the wicked, but who instead are rooted in God's word. The blessed life is a life that has meaning. It's a life that amounts to something, a life that has purpose and significance. This is what blessed means. The second word we need to define is the word meditate. Our modern culture has an understanding of meditation that is not the biblical understanding. In our culture, meditation is something that is done in silent isolation, where the goal is basically to turn off your thought process and silence your mind. This is not so with biblical meditation. Notice in Psalm chapter 19, which was read earlier, in verse 14, the psalmist prays that the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart be pleasing to God. In biblical meditation, both the mouth and the mind are used. And furthermore, meditation, biblical meditation, is done with the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2, verse 27, John says, "As for you, you Christians, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." The anointing here refers to the Holy Spirit, who guides and teaches believers all that they should know concerning God. So in biblical meditation, you use your mouth, whether by reading the Bible or reciting it. You use your mind and your heart, which are used interchangeably in the Bible. It is an intellectual activity in which you study, you engage with, you interpret that which you read. And it is done with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps you to understand that which you read, and through it, causes you to mature spiritually. So that is what meditate means. Now the last word we need to define is the word law. The Hebrew word used in Psalm 1 for law is the word Torah. Torah is a much broader term than what the word law suggests. Law is only a particular kind of Torah. But broadly speaking, Torah simply means instruction, or in this case, God's instruction. So Psalm 1 refers to God's instruction. Now in our context, where is it that we find God's instruction? We have 66 books full of it. So now that we have defined these three words, let's look at the contrast that is being made in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So we are told that the blessed person is one who does not do something in favor of doing something else. And what is it that the blessed person does not do? Well, they do not walk and stand and sit in the way of sinners. Now what does that mean? There is a progression that is happening here. And the progression of bodily movement refers to the progression of a person from a certain internal attitude to an external behavior. The progression moves from a casual identification with sin to a complete association in sin and participation in sin. So let me use an analogy to explain. Think of a person who walks by a group of people who are drinking and partying and engaging in immoral behavior. At first, this person will walk past the group, and they're not yet participating, but they're not quite repulsed or disgusted by the behavior they see. Their attitude is one of indifference or even acceptance. Then they stop, and they stand by the group. You see, now they're beginning to contemplate whether or not they should join in with the group. And it's not like they are kind of like in a torn between the two. The behavior of the group is very appealing to them, so they're attracted to it. Finally, they then sit down with the group. And now their internal attitude has gone and expressed itself in external behavior. They're now participating in the sin. And how often do we play around with sin and temptation? You see, we think it's enough simply to not externally participate in sin, but we allow our attitudes to be casual and indifferent towards sin. Folks, this is the opposite of what the Bible expects of us. Paul writes in Colossians 3 verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." We are to be actively antagonistic towards sin, not just the sin of the world that we see outside, but our own sin in our hearts. We are to wage war against it. There has to be a deep hatred for it. Do not become friendly with sin. Hate your sin and flee from it. This is the attitude of the righteous person in Psalm 1. They are blessed. Why? Because they do not delight in sin. Rather, their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. This is the contrast of delight. The wicked person delights in sin and wickedness, but the righteous person delights in God's word. The righteous person loves and cherishes God's word so much that they meditate on it day and night. All day long they read, study, and think about God's word. And when they go to bed at night, they can't wait to wake up so that they can continue to read, study, and think about God's word. The first thing they think about when they wake up is God's word. The last thing they think about when they go to bed is God's word. God's word is like gold to the righteous person. It is immeasurably valuable. It is like a secure dwelling place. The righteous person finds safety and protection in it. The righteous person loves and cherishes God's word like a man loves and cherishes his wife. The righteous person delights in God's word. Do you delight in God's word? Do you desire to study and know the Bible better? Are you excited to hear the exposition of the word? Do you seek to study the Bible with like-minded believers in order that your faith may grow and mature? I pray that we may be people who delight day and night in God's word. So we have seen now the contrast of delight. But secondly, we see a contrast of success in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away." So we are told that as a result of the righteous person's delight in God's word, they are like a tree that is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Think of a strong and healthy tree. When the wind howls and storms rage, we generally don't worry that the tree is going to fall down. The tree is rooted firmly in the ground. It is sturdy. And because it is rooted firmly in the ground, it's a healthy tree. And because it is healthy, it will produce fruit. And the fruit that the tree produces is beneficial to others who can use it for food. This is a righteous person who is rooted in God's word. Because they are rooted in God's word, they are spiritually healthy. And because they are spiritually healthy, they produce fruit. They become a blessing to others. Furthermore, at the end of verse 3, we are told that whatever they do prospers. Now, a better word to use instead of prospers would be the word succeeds. And why do I say that? If I say to you, he is prosperous, what comes to mind? Immediately you think it's financial prosperity, which is not what is meant in this psalm. If I say to you, she is successful, you'll ask me, at what is she successful? She could be a successful mother. She could be a successful athlete. She could be a successful businesswoman. In other words, prosper is a narrow term, where success is a lot broader. And so therefore, ultimate success in life is achieved when you are properly oriented to God in your relationship with Him. Think of the words of Joshua 1 verse 8. God says to Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So there is the exhortation to be in a right relationship with God. And then what is the promise that comes with that? Then you will be prosperous and successful. Think of Jesus' words in Matthew 6 verse 33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, right relationship with God, and then all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, God promises success to the person who follows Him and obeys His commandments. And sometimes that success happens quickly and in time. Other times, the righteous person must wait for God's timing. But ultimately, God does promise success and blessing for the person who follows and obeys Him. In contrast, as a result of delighting in sin, the wicked person is like chaff that the wind blows away. Now, for those who don't know, chaff is the husk or the coverings that cover the grains of wheat. And so when wheat is gathered, it is thrown up into the air so that the wind blows the much lighter chaff away and only the seeds remain. So unlike a tree that stands strong in the wind because it is firmly rooted, the wicked person is like chaff that is easily thrown about by the wind. The wicked person is easily swayed by the ideologies of the culture and is easily won over by sinful temptation. And just like chaff, the wicked person is useless. They do not provide any benefit or blessing to others. So this is the contrast of success. The righteous person who delights in God's word will be strong, healthy, and successful. The wicked person who delights in sin will be tossed around and thrown away. So we've looked now at the contrast of delight. We've looked at the contrast of success. Finally, we look at the contrast of outcomes in verses 5 and 6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Now, earlier I defined the word blessed, which is the first word in this psalm. I want to define another word here, perish. In the NIV, it's translated as destruction. This word is the last word of the psalm. And the reason for this is because the two words, blessed and perish, are opposites. In the context, perish simply means come to nothing or amount to nothing. In other words, it refers to something that is meaningless. And so in the context of Psalm 1, the wicked person who delights in sin is like chaff. They are useless, and therefore their life amounts to nothing. It is meaningless. They will not stand in the judgment, or in the assembly of the righteous. And in the context, this refers to the community of Israel. The wicked have no part. They were not welcome in the community of God's chosen people. The life of the wicked person is meaningless, and it ends in ruin and destruction. In contrast, the righteous person who delights in God's word and is strong and healthy like a tree, they are looked after and cared for by the Lord. The idea being portrayed in verse 6 is that God has an intimate knowledge of the righteous person. He cares for them. He has affection for them. God is like a parent with their child. He nurtures them. He protects them. He leads them. He guides them. And he even disciplines them when they go wrong. There is an incredible amount of intimacy present here. So that is the contrast of outcomes. And we have seen now the three contrasts being made between the righteous person and the wicked person. The contrast of delight, that the righteous person delights in God's word, but the wicked person delights in sin. The contrast of success, that the righteous person is spiritually healthy and able to be a blessing to others, but the wicked person is easily swayed and of no benefit to others. The contrast of outcomes, the righteous person is intimately known and cared for by God, but the life of the wicked person will end in destruction and ruin. So here is the major theme of the song. If you want to live a life of happiness, blessing, and success, you need to live like the righteous person in the song. Now, what is the problem with that? Do we live like the righteous person in the song? I'm sure all of us can think of a moment in the last few days where we did not delight in God's word. A moment maybe where we entertained the thought of sin and even indulged in sin. Many of us may have postponed our quiet times or neglected to come to church out of laziness. We do not live like the righteous person. We cannot. We are sinful people. Even for believers, sin is still an everyday battle. So the question we must ask is, can we have a life of happiness and success? If it is up to us, then the answer to that question is a definite no. Outside of God's grace, every single one of us is like the wicked person. Outside of God's grace, all of us delight in sin. Outside of God's grace, all of us live a life that is meaningless. Outside of God's grace, all of us are on the road that leads to destruction. Here is the good news. There is one man, and only one man, in all of history who perfectly lived the life of the righteous person in Psalm 1. Not once did he delight in sin. Not once did he even entertain the thought of sin. All his life, his delight was totally in God's word alone. He was strong and sturdy. No temptation could sway him. His life was a blessing to others. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead, fed the hungry, and much, much more. He lived a life of blessing, a life that was under God's favor. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ lived Psalm 1 for us. He lived a perfectly righteous life. And then he was crucified on a cross. And in that act, he took our wickedness and our sinfulness upon himself, and he clothed us with his righteousness. So if you are sitting here this morning, and you have repented of your sins and believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Father will look upon you and see you as righteous. Fellow believers, we don't need to feel the pressure to live Psalm 1 perfectly in order for the Father to love us. The Father loves us with a love that we can never lose because we are secure in Christ. The life that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. In addition to Jesus living Psalm 1 for us, he is now in the process of producing Psalm 1 in us. The Father views us as those who live in perfect conformity to Psalm 1. And yet he knows, like we know, that we don't always live up to the standard. But God is in the process of conforming us more and more by the power of His Word and by the power of His Spirit to this image of the blessed and successful person. That's our sanctification. And just like our justification, our sanctification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We depend totally upon Christ to live this psalm for us, so that the Father views us as being in perfect conformity to His perfect standard. And we depend totally on Christ that His Word and His Spirit might be producing this psalm in us, so that more and more we look like this person, and so that one day, when Christ returns, we may fully experience the well-being and success that is described in Psalm 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Complete the sentence for me. I am most happy and satisfied when... What did you fill in the blank? What is it that makes you happy? Do you want to live a life of happiness and blessing this new year? Don't delight in sin or in the things of this world. Those things are vain and temporary, and they will lead to ruin and destruction. Delight in Christ, who is the living Word of God. How do we delight in Christ? By striving to know Him more through the daily meditation of God's written Word. Delight in Christ, dear brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You that we do not have to feel the pressure to live a perfect life. We do not have to live up to this perfect standard which we know we cannot ever achieve. Father, thank You that You know this and that You have provided a way for us. That through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfectly righteous life and who died for us, we can now be viewed as righteous, Lord. I pray as we leave here and as we go into this new year, Father, that we would not delight in sin or the things of this world, but that we would delight in Christ alone and meditate on His Word day and night. Help us, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping.